Hey, what's up all you addicts out there? Welcome to the Addicted Fishing Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. We got a bunch of people in the building tonight. We got Nick Popoff, Cameron Black, and Josh Handy in the studio. We're going to be talking springers. Thanks so much if you're tuning in on YouTube. Please tap that subscribe button if you're just now tuning in. We are Addicted Fishing. We talk all things fishing. All the content on this channel is fishing related, and we're talking salmon, steelhead, walleye, bass, kokanee, crappie, pretty much anything that swims, we're talking about it.
Right. Soon to be lean cod bonfish.
Anything the Northwest has to offer.
And we're going to be branching out to other places soon. Places very, very soon.
I can't wait.
Thanks so much for tuning in with this, guys. We appreciate you guys listening. If you're on iTunes or Google Play or any of those, please leave us a review. Tap us a little review. Let us know how you like this podcast. Give us some feedback if you want to see us change things, anything like that. It really helps when you leave us a review, so please do that. And we got some flashy things on the table right here.
That's right.
Some flashy things. Like flashing the camera here.
With the chrome.
It's springer season, so we got to talk flashers. So we've got a bunch of little short bus flashers out here. For all you guys on YouTube, you can see that. And all you guys on podcasts, well, we can tell you about it.
All you guys on iTunes that are listening to us, subscribe to our YouTube channel, please. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
But no, we're talking springer fishing, so the Columbia has started off with the cold start. By the time you guys are getting this, though, we're really thinking that that light switch is going to turn on. You know, right now I think Kevin Gray just threw out the first ODF&W check with something like 44 fish caught for 2,300 angler trips.
I think it was 2,700 angler trips.
Really, 2,700 angler trips.
Cameron's own language he just invented on this podcast. We call it gibberish.
2,700.
For those of you on the podcast, you can see the look I'm giving Marlon right now to slap his face. Anyways. But no, I mean, 44 fish caught is what they think for 2,800 or 2,700 angler trips.
Damn.
Dude, that's crazy. That's
a lot of trips.
1 in 20?
It's March, but what's the water temps doing? Like, they look like February water temps.
39 degrees like a week ago. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of these trips are, you know, so super early season water.
But even then, for March, he's smart, man.
I'm not either. He's got a couple of his clients are like, dude, just take me out there. I have to get out there. I don't care if I hook anything. And then you end up hooking stuff, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I landed a couple springers yesterday and saw a couple more caught, and I thought, all right, things are kind of going on a little bit. But no, I've been kokanee fishing. Yeah. I steelhead fished today. Had a great day steelheading. Never saw another angler.
I've been bass fishing.
I did do a shedding too.
Anything else?
I had a 12-fish day steelhead fishing yesterday.
Hey, you guys want to know how many times I fished with Pawpaws this year? Zero. Because every time I tried to fish with him, he bailed on me.
Every time.
Because he knows what we're going to do is go down there and we're only going to catch like a half a fish. It'll be like
usually what happens. Every time Cameron comes with me, it's like the world's worst fishing.
It's so true.
It's jinxed. Well, before we get too crazy and derailed in this podcast, Cam, let's talk a little bit about what you've been working on really heavily and addicts have been trying to help out this hatchery and wild thing. Talk a little bit about it.
Before we get into the talk of... doom and gloom because the lower river, Columbia River, is closed and there's no this fish. No, we've been working on with Hatchery and Wild Coexist. It's a kind of a campaign that's just trying to put a lot of focus on the fact that, you know, not all hatchery fish are created equal and that there are some positive benefits to having hatchery fish, broodstocked hatchery fish within our systems. And also, too, that hatchery fish do not have the detrimental effect that the kind of the common knowledge used to have back in the early 2000s. So, funny story is out of the 22, you know, studies that have been in our area, you know, out of the Northwest, you know, 7 of them have shown a negative effect towards hatchery fish, towards wild populations.
Yep.
4 of them have shown a positive effect, but then a lot of them have shown no effect. But one thing to differentiate is that some of those negative effects were with out-of-basin, segregated stocks that, you know, necessarily
aren't,
and we understand, no longer used. But the craziest thing about it, I took all those studies today, and, you know, Hatchery and Wild Coexist, it's on the main page. We've got a whole list for all the studies for all you anglers out there. You can go check out yourself. But I looked at the average, the publishing date, on when these studies were conducted.
Mm-hmm.
And all the negative, if you roll them all up and average it out, the year was 2006.
Wow.
All the positive,
that was a long time ago.
Average was 2010. all the no effect, which is just as important to a sport angler.
I think it's
that's 2012
more important almost. Yeah.
So as you can see, as the science has progressed and has kind of moved forward, we've gotten better and we've gotten smarter, and things that we've tried haven't worked and have worked. You've noticed that, okay, as the science is moving and advancing,
we're
finding that, okay, you know, what's really going on here?
Exactly.
What have we basically sacrificed to try to get some of these wild populations back that hasn't worked?
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm not saying, at the end of the day, wild fish populations depend on habitat. I mean, there's no 100%. Argument there.
Yep.
It's no argument. It's habitat. But Portland municipalities and Vancouver and all these houses up and down the street, they ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
We got to do something. You guys need to go out and check.
I want to know what rocks these people are living under that they feel like.
No, it is, dude,
because it's like, just like you just said, it's so interesting to me because they will fight the habitat thing to the end. And it's like, we all agree on that. We agree that habitat needs to be fixed. No. But every time it gets brought up, it's like, there is so many things that you look at. It's like, that is never changing. If anything, it gets worse every single day that America grows and our economy grows and the Pacific Northwest continues to grow. I mean, even the town that I currently live in, when I first lived in here, this town, there was one grocery store. There's like five grocery stores now in the town that I live in.
Yeah, it's crazy.
At the end of the day, if we bulldoze every road and building and pack up and leave the Northwest and give all the habitat back to the steelhead, then fine. But you know what? That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's things what we're doing positively, though. I mean, there's definitely, like, you know, there's a lot of habitat reintroduction. Yeah. You know, we're getting rid of culverts. I mean, we're doing things in the right direction. And I'm not saying we should stop doing those things, like, that's in any shape or form. Like, don't lose all that support for any of those organizations and then jump into this. But also use this as a stepping stone to realize, okay, we're all sport fishermen. We want healthy and robust fisheries.
Absolutely.
We can get those without sacrificing wild steelhead and wild salmon populations.
Yep.
And we can do it. Unfortunately, I think a lot of the powers that be that kind of digested these studies back in 2002, 2003, 2006, that's been the status quo.
Yep.
We're trying to change the status quo. We're trying to bring attention. Hatchery and Wild Coexist, the campaign, has already had some great wins, some fantastic wins to the Natural Resources Committee in Salem at Oregon, talking about the Santiam fish and the Leeburg hatcheries just last week.
Yeah.
I mean, so we are, I mean, and this thing has just started.
Yeah.
So Dave Champ and the guys, man, I mean, hats off to them. They've got a good thing going, and they know how to do it at the legislative level.
Yep.
We need to give them help and get it at the ground level.
Yeah,
and that's what we're talking about.
At the anglers, you guys out there, at the end of the day, all you people out there listening, you're the ones that can affect change and make the movement. We need these guys at the base level and at the legislation level, but we need all you addicts out there to support in every way, shape, or form that you can.
This is a well-rounded campaign, and for those of you guys who haven't, like I said, you're going to keep hearing this from us. This is something that we need before,
and
we just, this is what we're going to be behind, but go to Hatchery Wild Coexist on Facebook, and right now this week, and I know you guys should be listening to this podcast when the contest is still going on, we're giving away an edge rod right now, so just like and share it. All we're trying to do is just spread the word that, hey, this campaign is here, and there's going to be a lot more to come, a lot more videos, a lot more work. We're going to be doing membership drives down the road. Like, it's time.
It's time. The real deal, too. I mean, this is something I think a lot of people can get behind, and I mean, it's got the goal that we've all been talking about. I mean, we've been talking about it for how long? This is what we need.
It's what we need, and then it's also being done. Like, you look at, steelhead overall, it's a down year. But you know what? Where they've been doing these programs, and even in the minute scale that they're doing them, one of the rivers you particularly fish on, it's still way better than anything else going on. And then if you look at the tribes, which do it at probably a
much higher scale,
accentuated scale, we'll call it, basically to the extreme. And look at what they got.
I'll tell you straight.
Proof's in the pudding.
I've been doing this for a long time on my river, and it's incredible. Not just like on a tough year. A lot of rivers struggled immensely, and on a tough year, and this is what we kind of wanted to see, you know, from this, these broodstock, what are they going to do on a year when the fish aren't returning at a high or normal rate, you know?
And bad ocean.
Yeah, and on a bad ocean, quote unquote, you know? And the reality is,
There's no quote unquote. Quit trying to act like the ocean wasn't bad. There was a giant.
But there's also,
Yeah, it's not an excuse, exactly.
Yeah, it's not an excuse. I'm just saying that this we still had returns even with a bad ocean. Certain places got good returns still. They all went to the same ocean. So there was bad conditions.
I see you're saying.
Yeah. There was bad conditions, but fish still, you know, there was still supplemental returns in certain areas, you know.
And a lot of those areas, if you go and look at them, coincidentally, they had restocking.
Yes. Yep. And my river in particular, it was tough fishing. It was a down year.
Down year and conditions weren't
And conditions nice. Were terrible. We had low water all year. Yep. I think we only got rain one time. The river got over 7 foot one time all season. I've never seen that in my life.
Yeah, like low water, frigid cold temps, stuff that fish just
I was walking my boat in. Down 100-yard stretches. I mean, because you can't get through it. You had to push the boat through, you know. So it's not great, but there is plenty of fish. There was giant fish. I mean, fish, you know, it's incredible what these things do. And I just hope that our angler group and our following and our everyone gets involved, you know, at the angler level, because that's where it's going to all stem from, you know, give these guys support.
Yeah. So www.hatchery-wild-coexist.com. We're going to work on that website for those guys.
I was going
to
say.
I know it's a lot to digest, but hatchery-wild-coexist.com. Or their Facebook page. You can get all the information, all links there. And you can maybe win a very valuable fishing rod.
Yeah.
Yep. So, with that said, let's talk some Springers.
Before we talk Springers,
oh, damn it.
We've got to talk one more little small
thing. Sorry, guys. I tried.
Some more steel stuff.
Today, actually, this is pretty dope, too.
This is today. What is today? The 25th? 26th?
27th.
March 27th. Gosh. So we're going to say the date, March 27th, just so we know you guys can see how good Clint is at getting these things out quickly. Actually, we can't always blame it on Clint. So a lot of times he publishes them and he'll message me and say, hey, the podcast is ready to get put up. And then I take like a day to get it actually put up. So
the truth is,
can't blame it all on Clint. But regardless, March, whatever they guys just said. And we released our second trailer to our movie, Addicted Alaska 2 Winter Chrome Blend. So if you have not seen that or checked that out, please head over to our YouTube channel, Addicted Fishing, and look at that trailer. Pre-sale tickets are available now for the premiere of the movie, which is going to be in Portland, Oregon for the first premiere. And yes, I have a lot of you have asked. We are looking at other cities as well. Probably Seattle will be the next destination that we'll hopefully be able to do a premiere at. So,
and if that trailer doesn't get you excited, I don't know what does.
Check your pulse.
If you watch that trailer and you don't like it, you're just a hater.
Yeah.
You just don't like fishing. I mean, to me, at the end of the day, you don't like fishing. If you watch that, you don't like it.
When you hook the steelhead.
Oh,
it hurts them.
Jeez. Please go check it out. We got a lot of time into this thing, and we hope you guys love it. We created it for all you addicts out there. So, Addicted Alaska 2, Winter Chrome Blend.
Bam.
Coming soon.
It's going to be www.addicted.fishing.
Yep.
Springers.
Springers.
Like, how the hell did we went off on a 10-minute tangent.
Yeah,
we were talking Springers. Like,
but then it reminded me what the actual date is, and now I'm kind of upset that there's no more
Springers.
I know. It's March
27th. 2 days ago, I was kokanee fishing on the 25th.
Yeah.
That should tell you something. I
don't know about Springers around.
You guys, but I got some memories popping up in Facebook.
Right. Disgusting.
I hooked five last year this time.
Yep.
Killed one of the biggest Springers I've ever caught.
I will say, though, last year I fished on the first day I fished was the 29th last year, and there was some fish caught. And I remember the 2 days before that is when it really went off, because I was steelhead fishing. I was like, oh man, I got to get out there. Like, they're getting them. I was getting all these pictures sent to me. And so it's a little bit behind schedule, but I think they're coming. I think we'll see.
Some of the reports I got today were a lot better than they had been. Yeah. People hooking at least multiple fish, not just onesies here and there.
I get to gun them with seven rods tomorrow.
The 31st, I'm gunning them with seven rods too. So
actually, I only fish six with six
me
guys.
Me too. I don't ever put a seven.
But you know, I could. Maybe I'll put that millennial prawn out the back. Just let it ride.
Let it ride.
I'll be out there this weekend for sure.
You're not shedding?
It's time.
No, I'll probably be out. Snow on the ground. I'm actually fishing with Jordan on Sunday, and then I was thinking for Springers Friday, Saturday. Yeah, I'll be out there in the afternoon. It's supposed to be like 70 degrees on Friday.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I'm going to bomb out there after work, too.
Oh, that's Springer killer weather. If actually anybody says,
what time are you going to be done that day?
We can just take your boat.
We can just hop in.
Good.
What day is that?
I was just going to bring my boat out in the afternoon on Friday.
You just take my boat and I can go home and take a nap.
Ooh, Friday. I'm going to be out there Friday.
Don't talk
I'm
about afternoon trips, man.
Should we do a little live feed?
We could do a little live feed, maybe.
Let's keep in contact. Yeah, we're distracting all these podcast listeners are like, wow,
you guys shut the hell up.
These guys
watched the live feed on Friday last
just
week.
Planning trips. We're sitting here freaking planning trips.
We're missing the point of the podcast.
These guys are out there listening like, dude, I want to get in on this.
Yeah, that's the thing about fishing, though, man. It gets you all excited. Yeah. And, you know, new seasons come around and if someone says something, it brings up something else.
And you're like, damn, I want to get out there.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, those afternoon trips are my favorite.
Yeah. Dude, they are. Sometimes they can be super productive.
And there's nobody around.
That's why
there wasn't until we just said that. So now everybody's going to
actually fish the morning.
I'm going to watch in the morning. Like, where is everybody? Noon, everyone comes out.
A few years ago in the spring, probably 4 or 5 years ago in the springers,
those afternoon trips were worth it.
2015.
Oh my gosh, dude. I remember going in the channel every afternoon and just freaking beating them up with like 2 or 3 other boats in there. It was amazing.
Yeah. That's
so don't go to the channel in the afternoon. That's where I'm at. Get out of there.
My dude.
Beat it. No, just kidding.
But
just
you're right, though. I think it is kind of funny. It is kind of sad because, like I said, it's March 27th. And, yeah, we can't fish the lower river. But, you know, part of me is like, okay, you know, all those fish are swimming through that lower river.
They're
swimming right up to us. And you think that if there was a lot of fish around,
you'd be getting caught.
My gosh.
The only crazy part is there is a ton of sea lions down there, though, Hammer.
Right. Well, I did just got a phone call yesterday from a buddy that is in Astoria that's commercial, and he said that the sea lions are just wrecking the Chinook down there.
I bet they are.
So that's
I'm seeing like pods
that's what
of
he
them.
Told me from his commercial boat. He told me he's watching them just terrorize them. So
why isn't he terrorizing them?
Well, because there's no commercial gill net season, and that was his point. When you don't have that, it's just open rain.
Yep, you went there. So what we're saying is we need a 6 hour midnight to 6 a.m.
commercial season
next week.
They at least run them off with their boats.
A little bit. Something.
They have to use 15-inch mesh.
Yeah,
so they can be out there.
That's right.
Night vision.
21-inch mesh.
21-inch mesh.
Yeah. Jeez, you guys are just going off. Clint, you might have to edit this out of the podcast.
We love sea lions. No, don't edit it.
Don't edit.
Well, I mean, you got to think that those fish, as they were probably nudging in, they went right smack dab into 36 degree water.
And slowed right up.
So yesterday on the Washington side, you know, 42 and a half. Oregon side was more like 44, touching 44 degrees.
So what's the ocean temperatures?
Ocean temperatures is gotta be low. Upper 40s, low 50s.
Yeah.
I would think for this time of year, but I've never
it's like the opposite of fall when they nudge in and it's too warm. It's nudging in and it's too cold.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's too cold. I think they just come in and they immediately slow down in the estuary. You know, they start to enter and it's like, I mean, if you've seen it acclimate a fish when you put a fish in the broodstock, like, or, you know, you put them in there and it's like, it's almost shock to them to come out of cold river.
Yeah, you think they'd be smart enough to just run. Come on, guys.
Let's see you run for 150 yards in 28 degree water.
Run into the colder river?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
run
know.
Away from
there's
the sea lions.
There's been two things. There's two, y'all, that.
Okay.
That's what I meant. Like, but there's been two things that really, you know, add to the movement, like over Bonneville. It's like some dissolved gas. Kevin was telling me about it.
Nitrogen.
Yeah. When the nitrogen level, and that doesn't come up. Well, that doesn't get to the right level until the temperatures come up.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, when they see that level, and I can't remember if it's up or down. Well, I can't remember what level it is, but there's an indicator there that when that happens, those fish start.
And then also, when they release water from the dam, it creates nitrogen, which slows them down. So, if you get an overload of it, I believe it's nitrogen. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It gets too much in the water and slows them down. And then at the right level, it makes them move, you know, when it comes up to a certain level.
Hey, we ain't scientists, but we're trying to give you guys some idea.
But they can correlate fish movement over the dam and fish movement into the system with that level.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. It's nuts.
So, when are we seeing that big flood, you guys think?
I'm about April 28th.
Oh, I was thinking probably April 9th, April 10th.
Oh, the spill program. So hopefully by the time
it'll be next week.
It is next week. That's scary.
It usually starts the 4th or the 5th. Well, usually the 5th because in the last couple of years, we got till the 7th. And it's always you go out there after you smash them on the 5th. And it's like no one's catching anything. You get back to the dock, you look at your phone, you're like, oh.
Yeah, you look at the dock, and you're like, the river's like 10 feet. It's almost in
the river. The river's been on the rise. The river's been on a pretty steady rise for like the last 4 days, too. Yeah. And like yesterday, it finally kind of crested out, at least at Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think I saw a few fish shot, got a couple myself, and felt pretty fortunate for that. So don't go wrong. Well, by the time you're listening to this, maybe we're killing 10 and we're just not telling you.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
But regardless, the river winds up on a rise.
Give me 10 springers.
Yeah. Oh, God, it just gets me excited thinking about it.
I'm so hungry right now, too. I haven't eaten dinner yet.
Cam, what's your plan? Are you going to be bait fishing? You gonna
I'm going to bait fish. I'm going tomorrow with... Yeah, I've got like 6 dozen herring, got some millennial prawns. Like, I'm going to go.
I think when the water comes up this year, I'm going to be
in Well, tomorrow, I'm
sturgeon fishing.
I mean, one thing I will say is, like, when right now, when the numbers aren't that high, like, I've been using bait up. Like,
yeah.
Really fresh bait. Almost, I wouldn't say every pass, maybe at the very, no more than every other.
That's smart. Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're only going to run in. You know, you're only going to run into a few fish. And what's funny is, like, the 6 fish that I've marked, I've, like, got 3 of them to bite. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it's, yeah, you got to be there with bells on. So it's definitely not, and now's not a time to just, like I said, slap the worm on there and just troll around for 5 hours and pray. I think you got to, you know, you want to.
Why does my herring have no scales?
Yeah, you're not going to get.
It's all good.
Yeah, you're not going to. When the opportunity presents itself, you better be ready.
You might as well come out looking your best.
Yeah, so I mean, so I've been running a lot of bait, but I mean, you know, I've got a couple cases of herring, and the season only goes to upper 10th, and you know, I think we'll get into that quagmire of, hey, we haven't caught all our fish by April 10th, but you know, because the water's been so cold, and you know, there's only like 44 fish caught or whatever, and it's like, so we still have like 3,200 fish to catch, but then they don't show up at the dam, so then the state doesn't extend it because they're like worried, but then the fish move, and then they open it in May, and then they're gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'll have all those fish sitting right at the dam, and then they'll drop the water, and the fish will all go straight over the dam, and they'll be like, we don't know what happened.
Yeah.
It's the game, but
you just get them up river.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yep.
Nah, it's too far.
Just give it a chance.
Nah, I'll be smallmouth fishing by then.
Right,
dude. I'm
looking forward to that.
Oh, well, we are.
But no, this week will be it. The next, I think, the next like 2-3 days will be telling of the season.
Yeah,
I really do. I mean, temperatures are up now.
I think so.
They just got.
You have super warm weather coming, which is going to make the temperatures.
Right. Is it just for one day? Yeah. Or is it
it's a couple days.
And that's the thing. Like, Friday, you get those nice sunny days. Like yesterday was one of those just nice sunny, like high pressure, stable pressure days. Like I feel like those are.
I was kicking myself for not. See, now they changed it, but now you have tomorrow 66 and raining, but still pretty warm.
That's warm. That's
right. And then Friday 66 and raining. Saturday 69 and sunny. Sunday 69 and sunny.
So just pushed it out a day.
Yeah,
that's perfect. That's
when I start. I was totally kicking myself yesterday for not having herring ready to just go home and just jump in the boat and go fish because it was so
flat. It was so nice yesterday.
Nice. Oh yeah. If it's raining on Friday, I won't be out there. Oh, it's supposed to be sunny.
He melts in the rain.
He just made of sugar.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we have pretty constant temps for a while. Nothing below 50.
The lows are starting to get to that point where you like them, like 40 degree lows. Yeah. It's a 42.
And that's huge. I would have caught 20 steel instead of 10 if the lows were up. Because it was frost at my house this morning. Mm. Straight up, I walked outside and went... What? And I looked at the roofs and I'm like, what the hell is this?
It got snow? Cold. Yeah.
Dude, I left my boat down at the coast with all my rods in it because it was all warm, you know. And I come back the next morning, my rods were like one solid sheet of ice, dude. Just like, you couldn't even pull line off the reel. It's like, I had to take them in the house and, you know, and took them into Dave's heater and put them in front of the heater for like 10 minutes.
Oh, to get them all
tied out. Definitely been a weird year. I know somebody lives in Bend and it was snowing there today.
It wasn't warm today.
Winter's not gone, not warm. I guess.
It was not. I was stealing fish.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Groundhog. You're wrong.
It was chilly. Someone needs to go back and look at the Farmer's Almanac and see if they were right.
Right?
Yeah.
So when the water goes up, are you switching? You're not going to troll anymore?
No, you know what? The funny thing is, like, we do our live feed discussions and all that stuff tonight, and I was like, man, I don't have my anchor in my boat. I'm going home and putting my anchor in the boat because at the very least, on an outgoing tide, if you can anchor up, throw some bombers on those herring just work. I mean, I'd feel good about that.
Yeah.
Because I think and I will say the water clarity from Saturday to yesterday definitely tinged up.
Yeah.
It wasn't that emerald deep green where, you know, we were catching fish we were literally catching fish last week in 37, 40 feet of water.
God, jeez. That's crazy.
And
that's
nuts. Yesterday, I'm just going to say we were considerably shallower. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
Like, they were... surprising, a little move. And the water didn't change like that much, but just enough to where you barely noticed it. And those fish were like,
I think in that big river, you just, it doesn't take much. You know, you get a small little color change and even a flow increase in that river.
And what you said, what you said right there too is we had some bigger outgoing tides, and the tide was moving. So you just basically had to treat it like a little river. Like, okay, fat, dumb, lazy Chinook.
Where are you
not going to sit out there and get blasted in 40 feet when you can be inside the seam line, whether that be at 30, 20, or 10 feet?
Yeah. You got a nice soft incoming, and you could slide off, and you know, but it's the biggest thing
I'm bummed about the whole lower river closure. It's the lack of anchoring spots. I know there's a ton of spots to anchor.
But it's not as good.
There's just such good ones down there. I have a feeling that whole Warrior Rock line is going to turn into an anchoring spot.
There's just such good anchor spots down there. Never thought of that.
Yeah, you like those, don't you?
Yeah,
you like them on the Oregon side, don't you?
Oh, God. Like, you showed me that spot.
Filthy little
boy.
Filthy little animal.
You stay out of that hole. You stay out of there. So... No secret. There's no secret
to it. I'm just gonna. I think if it gets high, I'm gonna bank fish it.
That's smart.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna bank fish it because consistently you see bank fishermen just mop.
Well, yeah, when it gets really high,
bank fish three spinning globes, prawns,
exactly,
and just spread them out a little bit. You got three good working baits.
I'll be bank fishing.
Yeah, smart move
for sure. It's not a bad,
cork. You want to know what's cool about that?
There was one year when
you
it was like that.
You can sit there and do nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. You sit there and build a fire. It's amazing. Yeah. I love pumpkin.
I remember one year when the bank fishing was so productive, there was guides doing it.
Yeah.
Pulling up their big old 25-foot sled on the boat.
I remember getting the hell out.
Popping out. Get out with pumpkin.
Freaking Kirby used to offer like bank fishing camping trips and stuff on the thing. It was so good back then. Those things were cool.
Yep.
Someday we'll be back to those numbers, those type of years again. Because
I think they're coming. You know, I mean, I think we really are on a trend up, and you know,
we have to be over
coho.
Yeah,
I mean, look at our coho, and if you look back, I don't know if anyone's done this.
I read that survey. Isn't that cool? Talk about that. Yeah.
So check this out. I look back at kind of like the history of, you know, our runs and like kind of where they're at. And anytime we've gotten over 700,000 coho back, we've seen in the next 2 to 3 years to follow.
Yep.
Insurmountable increase in Chinook.
2014 for coho, and 15 and 16 for Chinook.
Yes. So,
wonder why
so
that is.
I don't know, but I read that survey you sent me too. That
so
was neat.
For those guys, there's a cool little survey. They did some like high seas, Bering Sea, basically where the feeding grounds for a lot of our salmon go. And they just did like a sampling. They've only done it a few years now, maybe only 2 years.
2 years.
But what they found was that, you know, generally, like the most abundant species in salmon in the oceans are pinks, and then it's followed by chum, then it's followed by sockeye, then it's followed by coho, and then Chinook, because of how they are and they're kind of a deep water feeder,
they travel.
They don't really catch those. They don't sample those, even though they are caught commercially. Blah blah blah.
Because they said the nets only go to 160 feet or something.
Right. So they don't sample those Chinook. But
that's just in this particular study.
But one thing that the study found this year was that coho were the second most abundant salmon,
and they were
behind
healthy.
Chum, and they were healthy.
Extremely healthy.
They said big in there. So
they made it a point to say that there was a hell of a lot of them, and they were fatties.
Can we skip springer season?
We're gonna smash
between the jack counts between that study
spawning spring
north of Falcon. So I got to participate in the North of Falcons meetings.
Oh, you did
last week.
Yeah, nice.
And so the Marine Area 1-4 take in Washington is supposed to be something like 200,000 coho. That's what the season's getting set for.
Oh my
it's
god!
Dirty.
Last year the Oregon Coast our opener was 3,200.
Get done, boys.
Go ahead. Well, that's also because they
used to plant that season.
But that's
going
to
be fun
on the Oregon Coast. They used to plant 7 million coho.
I'm gonna have to get like surgery.
I told you I might be working. Damn it, dude.
Yeah.
So. I'm going to be going after work.
The twitching season's going to be unreal.
Twitching. I'm going to twitch the bigger.
You know what's really cool? So we're talking to coho now and the fall season. One really thing cool about this North of Falcon meeting, so I already know like probably what's going to be set for Buoy 10. I already know what's going to be set kind of like for the fall season, at least below Bonneville. I mean, obviously, it's all preliminary. They got to go back and do the final modeling. They bring it forth. Anyways, the state managers and everybody at the table said, we cannot go out on Chinook impacts. They actually put a buffer into the fall Chinook impacts just because.
Thank God.
God, could you imagine if we mess up the fall Chinook
and we can't fish for silvers?
And then we sit on the bank when 905,000 hatchery coho swim up the Columbia River.
Oh my God.
No. I don't want to talk about pihos and wild fish and all that crap. No, we need to kill those damn bastards.
Well, here's what I've been saying. Since I heard that forecast, I've been saying it from the beginning. Everyone's like, oh, well, I don't care. Close Chinook fishing in Blue 10. Close it and give us a 5-month fishery for coho.
The one saving grace, you know what's funny about the funny thing about the saving grace to Blue 10? Yeah, exactly. Lower River Wild, Lower River Bright, Lower the Lower River stocks are actually coming back. Decently healthy. It's the Snake River Wild. It's the Brights.
So
it's
now we're going to flip the script. On
the narrative is going to be like,
keep the tulies.
Hey, maybe don't kill that 10-12 pound some chicken.
Yeah,
you might. It's a management tool, and like I said, and you know what's funny? I'll say this:
10-pound bright edge of my boat. That thing's getting whacked. I'll tell you what. Sorry, they're giving us a season to let us kill them. If they didn't want us to kill them, they wouldn't let us.
True. But. There also might be a bunch of coho around. And what's funny too is even John North.
Yeah,
from
Oregon, kill coho.
Oh yeah.
Right. And so even John North from when he was talking about those numbers, he looked right at me. He goes, "Well, you know, there's a bunch of seminars and stuff like that that taught people what tulies are."
Oh.
He looked right at me, and everybody laughed, and I was kind of like, "I'm like, we're gonna have to change that narrative, aren't we?" And everyone's like, "Oh, that's a whack tulie, especially a hatchery one." I don't know, but we'll have to see all the numbers. Everything's preliminary.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some drastic, really drastic reductions in some of the Chinook fisheries.
You guys that are just listening, you can't see it, but Marlon's over here getting tense and excited.
Dude,
for
coho. I'm grabbing the chair, like coho twitching.
That though,
oh, God.
I'm so coho's sad about like what's going to happen with like summer steelhead and like
this. Yeah, B-run steelhead is a freaking bad.
It's basically nothing,
right? Bad. Yeah, and the fact of the matter is too, like there's even some not so positive, like, you know, okay, let's just be realistic here. There's a lot of hatchery coho coming back. There should be some, you know, commercial opportunity in the Columbia River, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
You know, the numbers are there. So there should be a sea, but the problem is like the mesh sizes they need and B run steelhead, and even though there's just a few, like the interaction's gonna be bad. And so there's the honestly, a lot of those fisheries and everything's been set. Just that's like the it's not going to be good. Like I think they're only thinking like 8,000 back.
Holy
A runners were like 115,000, but B runners were like minimal.
So they're going to let us fish for A run steelhead.
All I know for steelhead is that there was going to be rolling block closures through the Columbia River, and my guess,
summer Chinook, so Warrior Rock down or something like that. No summer Chinook,
like 30,000 predicted or something, and then like I said, these numbers are preliminary, and I might be wrong. So don't hold my feet to the fire. But, this.
Or they might be wrong. Like the year, like 900,000 sockeye returned, and they said none were
300,000, and they thought 90.
You know, I mean, it does. You know, it's hard to. You know what they're doing too is guessing to a degree, and so
you know it's what we have. You know, we have, unfortunately, living below Bonneville Dam, we have to fish to forecast.
Yeah.
So it's like the forecast is what we have.
Yeah.
So, and if they're forecasting that there's only going to be 35,000 summer Chinook back, you can bet your ass we're not fishing.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is what it is.
In reality, why would you want to fish?
I mean, right. I mean, there's a little bit of
that. To a degree. Fish, we are gravel. Sportsmen. At the same time, we got to protect what we, you know, that's.
Oh, absolutely.
I can smell it. It doesn't sound. A run sounded like they were a little bit above the 10-year average.
Doesn't say because last year wasn't
Chinook
that great.
Not, and B runs. And my guess, looking in, what that tells me is that there'll probably be steelhead closures in the Columbia like July, August, and September, at least for the area that we fish.
Mm-hmm.
So to get back to Springers.
Nobody said anything. This is me pulling it out of my ass. What's that?
Well, to get back to Springers, what's the actual Springer forecast that we're looking
Springer
at?
So Springer forecast to above Bonneville is only like 99,000.
Yeah.
And but the Willamette.
How many was last year? 500.
Well, predicted was 150?
140 or something.
140, but like basically what we actually got last year was forecasted this year.
Yeah, and so, and then also in the Willamette, you know.
Maybe it was 110 was what we actually got.
Yeah, I think that's something like that. And in the Willamette, it's very similar. Our forecasted return this year is our actual return last year. So it's very similar.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing about the Willamette, though, like there's 50,000 predicted. So, I mean, it's
44,000 or 46,000, something
like that. Yeah, I mean, it's upwards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is why I'd really like to be fishing my normal haunt below the channel in the Columbia.
I know.
Well, Nick will probably kill about 1,000 of those anyway. So
yeah, it's probably good.
Nick is going to be just...
for them.
Yeah, no shoot. But that is true. They do as get good a as it's already been all the way there.
Yeah, they got a one-way ticket to me.
As good as it's already been, I know you're going to be in there whacking them.
I know. I can't wait. It's going to be
fun. Well, you should save us a seat.
Yeah.
I can't get up to where Nick fishes. Like, I can't get up to where Nick fishes until I put my prop on my damn boat. You gotta stop stealing. Oh,
God.
April 24th. That's my last date.
That's when you're done.
That's steelhead.
They'll be gone by then. You're good where you're at.
I have zero desire to go where Nick fishes and lose like 400 flashers on my first troll. Dude,
that is true.
Nah.
Here's the funny part is a lot of guys, where I'm at, like they'll try it, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, it takes one pass, but I know right where everything's at, so I just go reel up to 12 on your counter.
So it's funny that you say that, because I know the guys
behind you.
I know someone that fished with you, and the first troll through, you snagged and lost two flashers.
Yeah.
And they told me that, and I'm like, yeah, that's just where he fishes, dude. And he's like, yeah, but then the next pass, we hook six.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah. It's crazy when it's good.
That's funny about that troll, too, is like, if you just have your guys reel up to, like, three on the counters, and sometimes on the real big snags, and you're like, reel up to three, it's a
you still catch it.
And you watch that boat go right behind it, just dude. Mow every flasher into the
that literally, that's what I'm saying. And they see my logos and stuff, you know, so they follow you, but they don't realize I'm reeling my gear up over these things. And it's what it is, it's like giant pilings and like old school timber, it's like a mess. Big root wads. And some of it comes up to like 6 feet, you know? So I'm like, I make sure my reel up right under the surface to where you can see your flasher. And then the next boat right behind you thinks you're trolling.
And then they think you got bit for 20
seconds.
You can
hear just all their clickers. Just buried. And the worst part is it's all like soggy, wet log. And so your braid gets caught in it first. And then it buries the braid down into that wet log.
Oh,
and you just lose everything. There is no such thing as losing a leader up there. You lose it all.
I know some people that wait for the channel.
I was going to say, that would be
to get super low, and then they go like flasher fishing. I got a story
for this. So one of my clients, I pick him up at his dock. You know, we fish a few times a year. And I pick him up at the dock, and one day I pull up to his dock, and he has, probably 80 flashers hanging off his dock like wind chimes. And I'm like, so he comes down, and he's like, look what I did last night. He went down and he skin dove down on some of these logs, and he was getting 30 and 40 off of each snag. And I go, why are you putting them out there? They're going to get ruined by the sun. He's like, how else will everyone know where their flashers are? And I'm like, oh, I like it, dude. And
he's
like,
so funny.
So he's like an evil son of a
bitch. Oh, dude, he is too. It's just so funny. He's like, how else will everyone know I have their flashers? And I'm like, that's pretty badass. There's all these like custom ones.
So in other words,
I went through and I'm like, that's mine, and that's mine.
You know, give me them back.
He did.
I always said this with our bombers. We should start signing our bombers and our flashers if they ever find them again.
Oh, God.
So I've been doing that with mine.
I already know what yours have.
What?
You put the little red band on the bottom, too.
Well, yeah, but now I take a Sharpie on every bomber that I fish, and I basically black out.
Yeah.
Everything that's on the bobber, and then I just put ADX on it. So if you find any bobbers that say ADX and they have no other logos on them, those are fishing. Mine.
Ooh, secret teller.
Nah, that's a good idea. Start signing flashers. I don't lose very many, though, because I don't fish in that kind of crap.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. I bet you I've lost. I bet you since I've, like, when I went up there and I really, number one, it's guiding, it's tough because you got to have people that
on the ball.
Are watching their rods, and if they drop down too far, every single thing on the bottom will take your flasher, so or your lead. So you just got to really make sure.
Yeah, you really got to make sure.
Well, yeah, when you got 10 dead sprinters in your boat at the end of the day, it is fun.
I remember the first time a guy brought me up there. This is probably eight to ten years ago. Probably the same guy you brought up there.
Maybe.
We go up there and we drop in three rods and He goes, yeah, I gotta be careful to get a snag. And so I'm like, okay, well, the water is just muddy and high.
Yeah.
It looked like crap. Looked like Hershey syrup. And I'm like, oh, the road are prawn spinner. He goes, oh, they don't bite prawn spinner up here. I'm like, they're Springer. They bite prawn spinner. I literally dropped down, thought I snagged. And I'm like, oh, I'm already snagged. And I literally tried to thumb it and break it off. And it was a freaking fish.
Yeah.
And I hooked him in the first 5 feet.
Dude.
Then we lost 55 liters and three flashers.
And that's what happens.
But we caught Springers.
Yeah, that's what happens. You'll be trolling. You'll be like, oh, you're hung up. Oh, never mind. Nope, it's a fish. No, I mean, every time, dude. It's just
because you're so the first time you were posting those pictures.
Yeah.
The first time you were posting those pictures, like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Is he, like, twitching them or something?
Dude, I remember.
Because he was like,
I had my bass rod. I had my bass rod in the picture,
yeah,
and everyone was like, what is he doing? You know, and they all made all these assumptions.
Everybody's trying to figure out what he's doing.
All you need to do is put a Brad's Kokanee Dodger.
Yeah, right? Dude, next thing you know, everyone would be out there trolling them things.
People probably out there on his logs twitching the next day.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Could you imagine?
You couldn't twitch in them logs, dude. They'll take your pole and everything.
That's funny.
Oh, that is awesome.
But I'm excited. Spring season is on us.
We got some hopefully when you guys good listen stuff to this, coming, you're seeing guides post 4 pictures. Fish everywhere.
Hopefully you guys are out whacking by the time this podcast comes out.
I just think everyone needs to stay positive. I mean, we go through peaks and valleys in this fishery, and you can't give up on the fishery, and you can't give up on the fish. And, you know, we got to – this is the cards we were dealt, and, like, you know, so we got to just kind of roll with it.
At least we still get the fish.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be below before 2000 when you guys were. You guys were all youngins.
That was before my time, but I've obviously heard the stories not being able to fish for springers.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, just I think we're on the upturn though. Like you see all this, you know, just little things. Even if we get one run back at a time, and we start, you know, hitting these things, I think it's going
to
be.
Because I'm going to sluice those things. You got something really look forward to.
I might have to go get a pump.
Late June to early December is going to be a coho slaughter show.
Feel the real boat coming up your river.
He's got to get a jet on his
running it.
He's got to learn how to drive a jet.
That's what he just said. I'm kidding.
Hey, my old boat was a jet.
Let's do it. It'll be fun.
You should have kept that thing. That'd be perfect.
I know, I'm stupid.
That's fine. Cameron will be camping with you at Big Dave's next year.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're talking about doing that. He already knows that. I had this guy run me down the river. Okay, so I tell you what, man. We have been all over the place on this podcast, but I don't know.
It's been a fun one. I've enjoyed this one. Hopefully you guys out there listening are excited.
There's a lot of good stuff. It's not all doom and gloom out there. We got Hatchery Wild Coexist, Coho Runs, Fall Talk.
Yeah.
Nick coming up and sluicing my rivers talk. And
you know, when the fishing's not that good, you can come enjoy a badass movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's Alaska right.
Too.
Yeah, we got some bass fishing, walleye fishing, kokanee, man.
We live in the Northwest.
That's what you need to start doing, man. I need to get that.
We live in the Northwest. There's tons of stuff to do.
I'm
looking forward to like those 3 weeks where I just go up there and just beat on the stupid kokanee.
And like you said, 5 minutes fish.
From my house.
What? Bottom fish.
Yeah, that's another a blast. Big one. Yeah, that's so much fun.
Yes.
I mean, there's just so much opportunity.
Smallmouth, walleye, bottom fish.
Just get out there. There's get out there, get in the outdoors, get fishing. That's what we try to promote. Hopefully you guys are out there having a blast. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're on YouTube, tap the little subscribe button.
Thanks, guys.
Tap it.
Tap-a-roo.
We'll see you guys on the river.
See you on the river.
See you on the river, guys.